Welcome to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast, where we help you in the LGBTQ plus community find a safe and affordable retirement place. Join Mark Goldstein as he interviews others who live in gay-friendly places around the globe. Learn about the climate, cost of living, healthcare, crime and safety, and more. Now, here's your host, Mark Goldstein.
Today, we're going to take a little trip to Portland, Oregon with Paul Arbino. He's our special guest today, and Paul is a community activist, speaker, author, and documentarian. Did I say that right? With over three decades of gerontology experience, he implemented virtual gatherings for older adults to safely connect during the pandemic to reduce isolation and increase social connectivity. This experience led to Paul's first book, COVIDology, Sharing Life Lessons from Behind the Mask. His current book, Defining Moments, will amplify the voices of LGBTQ plus writers and will be released early next year. You can follow his work at https://www.ourboldvoices.com. Welcome, Paul. Welcome to the podcast.
And Thank you, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Oh, of course. And so, Paul, tell us your story. How long have you lived in Portland? Where are you a native? Where did you originally come from? Give us the little background.
Well, since I'm not very good at math, I can tell you that I moved here in 1989 from Boston. And believe it or not, I moved here because of the quality of life and affordable housing. And I thought the city was kind of slow. When I first got here, it was a very different city than it was now. And people were just so polite, and it just irritated me. But so it took me a little while to get used to nice people and lots of green spaces and affordable housing. So I've been here ever since. So in many ways, I feel like a native because I think I've been here longer than most Portland residents.
Excellent, excellent. And you moved from Boston trying to find a better place. So, okay. And you found a better place, and we'll get into that as well. So tell us geographically, where is Portland located within Oregon?
So we're kind of in the, so Oregon, and right above us is Washington State, and there's a river that separates us. So we're surrounded by bodies of water. So the Columbia River is just to the north of us. And we're kind of in the northwest corner of the state. We are, I believe, the smallest county with the most densely populated number of residents that live here.
Okay. So since you're so close to the state of Washington, how far is Vancouver, Washington from you?
For me, it's really close. I just hop on the bridge on there in 15 minutes.
15 minutes.
And it's actually quicker for me to go to Vancouver than it would be to go like to the west side of town. If I'm going to go to like a suburb like Beaverton or Hillsboro, it's actually quicker. So there's a lot of people who are looking at Vancouver as an option. And my husband and I are one of those. So we're happy here. But Vancouver has a lot to offer as well.
You know, you have the best of both worlds now, no matter where you live in that area. So living in Portland, 15 minutes, you can be in Vancouver. And then if you even lived in Vancouver, then you could have no state taxes and then hop over to Portland and have no sales tax.
That is correct. Yes, you'll see a lot of Washington plates. So I'm actually close to our airport, which is very close to Vancouver. I'm in Northeast Portland. And if you go there on any given day, probably 8 out of 10 license plates are from Washington State. And Washington State has several Costcos. It's not like there's a shortage of Costcos up there. But if you're doing a lot of shopping, you can save a lot of money on the sales tax because it's really close. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. So, all right, let's get into the climate now. So the summers are probably beautiful, I'm thinking, because compared to where we are here in Phoenix, we're about 109 right now, which is kind of chilly for us, but I think it's 79 right now in Portland. So tell us about the climate, the summers and the winters.
Yeah. So I like the summer. So it's kind of like being bipolar living here. We have four seasons, but the longest that really seem to stretch out are summer and winter. And so it's like a love-hate relationship. Our summers are beautiful. So right now it's sunny. If it gets too hot, we have umbrellas up. It used to be years ago when I moved here, people said, oh, you don't need air conditioning in Portland. It only gets hot. Well, you do need air conditioning in Portland, especially with climate change. So it does help, but it's a mild temperature compared to where you are in Phoenix. The winters, however, can be really long. So being from the Northeast, I didn't like those winters because I was tired of shoveling snow and icy roads and bitchy drivers and trying to reserve a parking spot on the street because it's public and fistfights. So when I moved here, I'm like, I don't want to shovel snow. Well, we occasionally get snow. And of course, the city shuts down because no one knows what to do with it. And they don't really have many plows. So they'll plow the main roads, but all the side streets are like an ice skating rink. So it really kind of quiets the city down. The issue, however, is we get a lot of rain during those gray, dark months. And if you look at our latitude, we're farther north. So our days are longer in the summer, but also it starts getting dark at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It just feels like it's dark and gray. And it's not like a horrible downpour rain. It's just it's just enough to irritate, at least for me. It's just like you have to have your hood on at all times or have an umbrella. It's just like this misty.
It's that spritz.
Yes, that spritz, and it just makes me want to crave carbohydrates, and I just want to eat beef stew for dinner, and I just get, I don't know, it's just like I just want to be a couch potato, where it's now it's sunny, and I'm really energized, and I'm outside. So it's like you have to take the good with the bad, and now that we're getting older, and I know that this is like, where do gay people live? We're going to just spend more time traveling in the winter months just to give us a break, and at the same time, when we've traveled to places like Vegas and Palm Springs and places warm, come back and it's like, it's misty. And it's like, oh, I missed it. It must be like becoming a native because it's very lush. And when you fly over, you just see so much greenery. And we're very fortunate to have so much green space here. So,
yeah. So, yeah, I kind of got away from the New York area too to get away. It was so gray in the winter too and cold. At least it doesn't get as cold. What's the lowest it will get in
Portland? It might get below. It gets below freezing here and there, but it's usually short-lived. It will warm up, but this occasionally it'll hit 0 or 5 degrees. But it's unusual. But it's just like we did get more sunshine in Boston. Like even if it's 30 degrees and sunny, it's like I'd rather have that than 40 and gray and rainy all the time. You know what I mean? It's just it kind of gets. It depends on what you get used to, but I don't have to shovel much here, which is great. And sometimes I just let it melt, just let it have its thing. So
yeah. So weather, it's a big thing in different places here too. So we're probably the opposite. Summer, we'd like to get away to places like Portland.
Yes.
So it goes both ways. Okay. So how about the LGBTQ community? Does one exist in Portland? Do you like to live in an LGBTQ community, or is everything pretty much integrated because everyone just doesn't care?
It's a great question. I believe that we have a really strong LGBTQ plus community. We do. And I think it's been a case for a really long time. It's a desirable place to live. And people start living here in their early 20s and they tend to stick around. It's a very literate town. We've got lots of colleges here like Reed College or University of Portland, Portland State. So a lot of folks generally will stay here. And even if they've gone to a state school out of town, like in Corvallis or Eugene, a lot of people tend to move here. And it's very progressive. And I think there's just a lot of integration. When I talk to other people who come here from a lot of other places, they're like, where's your gay neighborhood? And it's like, well, we don't really have one. We're kind of integrated. We used to have this thing called the gay triangle back in the day that had the strip bars and the gay bars. And that even too has disintegrated. So it's spread out more. And I actually like that better. And it's just generally more acceptance here within our community. So I think it's a good place to live, and we are, I think there's generally more acceptance here. Recently, I don't know if folks are familiar with this, but we just set a world record. We had the oldest living drag queen named Darcel, who passed away recently. This is a thing. She's the oldest. She was the oldest living, like, performing drag queen. So that's like, that's wow. That's out there. And so when she passed, it was a huge deal here. They're naming a square after her, and they had a service that people came together. It was free. It was at the Schnitzer, which is this huge place downtown. And they also did it as virtual because she was like a spokesperson. She was a symbol for Portland. And especially when she started this bar in the 1960s, and we think back to like police raids and things, she was just a really brave soul. So in honor of her, and plus what's happening in other states, like Bible Belt states with all the trans stuff, Portland decided that they would compete with having the longest running drag queen performance in the history of time.
Oh my God.
So it has to be like vetted, and you have to have at least so many people in the audience. And we're talking 24/7. You actually have an MC and you have drag queens. And from what I understood, like, drag queens came from many other states to come here and perform. And so that was just a few weeks ago. People can look it up, but it was just a thing of pride. And we had politicians and high level people that made a point to go and support this. So
I love
that's kind of the spirit of Portland and how we come together, and we like to model that for other parts of the country.
That's great. That's great. I love those types of stories. I'm sick of hearing the other type of stories that we are
always hearing.
Yes. It's very refreshing. Do you have any gay bars left?
So to speak? We do. They're changing. So it's so strange. We do have gay bars. I don't go out as much as I used to, but I just sort of read about it and hear about it. But there is a woman's bar called Sports Bra, and it's really popular with women, many lesbian, but not just lesbians, like all women. And if you can imagine, on the large screen TVs, I've been there once. I'm not a sports person per se, mm-hmm. but all of the sports that were going on TV were all women. Sports. Right. So it's just a really good example of like, hey, how can we create a space that's more inclusive, that really values women, for example? And yes, we do have gay bars. But if people are looking to, like, again, go to like the gayborhood, you're not going to be happy.
Going to find one.
They're spread out. So, yes, we do have a fair number of gay bars. And I think it's a tricky business. Gay bars, people are meeting on hookup sites and Grindr and stuff. So I don't think bars are what they used to be. Like, you and I are probably a similar age.
Right.
It was kind of like a prerequisite where you'd need a gay bar as part of our community. It's still there, but I think it's different.
It's a little less. Yeah. Okay. Would I feel comfortable walking down the street with my husband holding hands?
Yes.
In Portland.
I think so. Yes. I think you would. I think for a same-sex couple or someone that's gender non-diverse or whatever the term is, like gender, I'm not thinking the term correctly, but if someone's trans or non-binary, I think it's a really welcoming place. And having said that, we are like any other city where hateful people come, and sometimes Portland can be a target for that, because just above us in this little town called Battleground, which is near Vancouver, just a town away, that's where Joey Gibson lives. He's one of the ringleaders for the Proud Boys. So there's been a lot of sort of craziness that's happened. Fortunately, many of them are getting locked up for a while now, so they're not as proud as they used to be. But but anyway, does violence happen here? Yes. Do hate crimes happen here? Yes. And we are seeing an increase in that here and nationally. But at the same time, I think overall, there's a lot more sort of like live and let live and more acceptance than a lot of other places.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And okay. Would you say that there are some businesses that are gay owned? Do you know of?
Absolutely. There's several that are gay owned, and we have a LGBTQ business association that's been active, I think, since the 70s. So there's a lot of support, and many sort of like agencies and mainstream organizations are members of that, because like once a month they do a forum and the forum is really well attended. You might have the chief of police be a speaker. So if there's been a rise in, let's say, crimes against trans people, or there's been something happening, I think there was a sexual minority roundtable, which is morphed into something else. Like, we'll just say, hey, you need to come and speak. Mm-hmm. Or send a delegate or two. And we want to have a conversation about escalating violence and what your police force are doing to be transparent about that and holding people accountable. It's really good for that. So that's one thing that we have, is a very good business community. But also the other nice thing about Portland that goes hand in hand with that is that we have a really strong small business presence. A lot of the new jobs that are opening here are small businesses. So I can't speak for other cities, but we have a lot of mom and pop places to go for breakfast or brunch or dinner. And they're very unique. And we're known for our food carts. So you probably have, you guys have heard that. And many of those food carts now are morphing into restaurants. And because there's been so much displacement because of the pandemic and the Black Lives Matter, and just there's just been a lot of stuff that's happened, many of the mainstream places, they've had to scale down or get out of business. So these there's like this incubator for these new and innovative businesses that are like now opening up, in a Filipino restaurant or somebody that's doing an Asian fusion or a Korean restaurant. There's all these like great opportunities that are emerging, and there's also help from the government to try to create pathways for entrepreneurs to open restaurants and things like that. So I really think that the climate here is great for small businesses, restaurants, and to try to meet a niche, whether it's in the LGBTQ plus community or the broader community, that we're kind of working together to create and manifest a great place to live.
So does Portland have like a gay chamber of commerce?
Yeah, so I forget the name. Oh, it has a name. It used to be called something. Isn't that terrible? Like, it used to have acronyms and something. So we have a gay business association, which I mentioned earlier. I think it serves like a chamber of commerce, mm-hmm. right? So it's all the businesses. And so you'd go in there and you'd say, okay, I want a realtor. And you go in there and these are LGBTQ plus realtors, and you
right.
network, and they're the folks that will do the monthly forum. They also do little pop-up events around town. Like they might, we have the Willamette River divides our west side from the east side. It's a beautiful river, just like the Columbia. And so they might say, okay, we're going to have cocktails. It's $20. Come meet your local businesses, and we're going to have this, or we're going to do a fundraiser. So they sponsor a lot of really cool things in the community as well. So I guess you would call that our local
gay chamber
of commerce. Yeah.
Cool. All right. So how about meeting people? Is it easy? Like if we were to move to Portland, would it be easy to meet people, or is it kind of cliquish? Is the gay population, how can you explain that a little bit? Like,
yeah, there's something I call here from being from East Coast. I'm a very direct person. So I'm like, hey, Mark, da 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 da, da you want to come to my house? Da, da, da. I'm very direct. But there's something here in the Northwest, especially in Portland, and I call it Portland passive aggressive, where people are just like really indirect and they don't want to hurt your feelings. And they're like, ugh. So it's a weird thing that's hard to explain. I think it can be challenging to move here. It helps if you have some friends. But at the same time, I know people who come here and they just quickly glom onto like a meetup. There are many LGBTQ plus meetups, for example. There's also a lot of different queer groups. Like if you like to go hiking, if you like to do outdoors, there's gay softball. So there is just a whole huge variety of things that you can do. And also a big part of what I've been doing during the pandemic is I've been doing Zoom groups. And one of the groups I do is for gay men who are over 50. And it started locally, and I have some people all over the country. I have a couple that are in a little tiny town in Texas that's very red. It's a red dot. And so they like coming on and participating in these drop-ins. And we also do books and movies, which we're taking a break from during the summer because everyone's busy. The sun is out. But so I think online, there's a lot of great stuff. There is a local group that actually started over 20 years ago. It's now called Elder Pride Services, but it used to be called Sage Metro Portland.
Yeah.
And we do a lot of really good things for older adults, older LGBTQ folks. So there's a lot to get involved in. And it just depends. Some of us are introverts and some of us are extroverts. And so for those who are more introverted, it's a little bit more challenging, but there's plenty to do here. And I think it's very welcoming.
Oh, remember when we had discussions about like co-housing and stuff like that? Do you think that that would fit in somewhere in Portland as well? Do any of those exist in Portland?
Yes.
At all?
Yeah. So a couple of things. One, co-housing has been around here for a very long time. I'm going to guess and say like the 1970s, 1980s. There are several co-housing communities that exist. And I've been to a few of them. And just like Portland, I do know people who are LGBTQ plus that live there. And it really is a non-issue. I'm on a listserv from the Radical Fairies. I've done some work with them. I've gone to some of their events. And there is someone there who is a fairy that teaches this sort of like movement class. I forget what it's called. It's like Pilates. And they're doing it there as an out gay person, and they're inviting people from the community to come. So it's part and parcel of some of the activities that they're offering in that co-housing. And when I toured one time, because I work in the field of aging, I found out that in this one particular one, there were a lot of older people that live there, not specifically LGBTQ, although it could be. And I really like the model because people are just kind of checking on each other as neighbors. And a lot of people are volunteering on the ground. Some people who do gardening. It's a really nice model. So we have quite a bit of that here. And in terms of the LGBTQ side of things, there was, I believe there still is, and I've been seeing this on your group where different religious organizations, and I'm really bad at mainstream, how to label it, but I'm going to say the gentler, kinder ones because I'm not a follower of organized religion, but I want to say it's like the Unitarian Universalists, I think, or the Methodists, but the good Methodists or whatever, like the more accepting Methodists. So right. I've seen that happening, and please, I don't want to offend anybody, but there is a movement that in Washington County, which is just the county over, they are building some low-income housing for LGBTQ older adults. And it's an effort that's been happening for a while now between a church there that has some land, and they've done some deep spiritual work about who's not getting access to affordable housing. They are working with the agency I mentioned earlier. It's under the umbrella of Friendly House. It's a community agency, but with Elder Pride Services. And either they're building it now or they're going to build it soon. And so that's a really good example of low-income housing, because we have a shortage of housing anyway. And we definitely have a shortage
especially
of...
especially low-income.
Yeah, low-income. Yes. So I think that there's some really good models that are coming to age here. Yeah.
Good, good. Because we all think about, we're not getting younger. We're LGBTQ. Yeah. God forbid if we lose our loved ones and we're left alone and we need to go into a facility. And then what happens? Go back in the closet? I don't want to do that.
That's a huge issue, I can tell you from my years of experience in gerontology, and what the research tells us is that that's a strong probability. And so I think it's one of those things that we have to have continued conversations with our loved ones about what our wishes are. I think we have to get out of our comfort zone and make friends with younger people. Because I feel like now I'm 60 and I'm doing a lot of work for people in their 80s, and I feel badly for them, because if we just took a look at any system, like our healthcare system, I'm helping my two aunts with their healthcare. They don't have email. They don't plan to get email. Everything is done virtually. So I just try to remove all that for them. I have email accounts for them. I can check their medical records. They trust me. I'm on their things, but it's really hard. And if you factor in things like if English is not your first language, all that to say is that when I'm 80 or 90, I better have people who are like my age now that I can say, I don't know what the F is going on here, but I need someone. So I think we have to, in our community, find those people that we can glom onto, people who are good with technology, good with those things, because it's really on us to sort of create that safety network for ourselves.
We talk about it, but how do we do that?
Well, that's a separate thing. Might be back another time. I'll do a whole episode
on that. That's for another podcast.
Yeah, no, it's a whole hour. But yeah, there's things that we can do together, but we have to sort of like get out of our heads and really think creatively and ask ourselves some serious questions. Like many of us, I mean, my husband and I, we have our paperwork in order, but many of us don't, because we don't like to talk about death.
Right.
We don't want to talk about disability, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to envision. And look what happened with your husband recently,
right?
Yeah. I mean, it's like we don't plan on having a fall, but guess what? We do.
And shit
so
happens.
Now what? Shit happens.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And so I think especially as gay men, and I'm generalizing, you know, there's this whole youth culture and we don't want to admit that we're getting older. Again, I'm generalizing, but we have to be more prepared than we are. And I only know this because I've been seeing this, you know, years
right.
And years.
You're so right, Paul. I mean, you're so correct on that. And you're right. Nobody wants to talk. Who wants to talk about dying? Or who wants to talk about getting into your final years? And
it's a mood killer. People don't want to talk about that stuff. But
right.
We have to. And it's not just like, oh, well, I have my financial affairs in order. No, it's not that. It's all the other pieces, that we have to continue to engage and talk about, right? So anyway, I'd love to come back another time, because I do think that's an area that
I think
we need more conversation around. But
yeah. Plus, I have a couple more episodes with different people that you're going to enjoy. So we'll talk about that offline.
Perfect.
Too.
Thank you.
So, okay. Tell us about the local economy. What's real estate like if I bought a house? Give us an example of utility bills and stuff like that. Is it really expensive now in Portland to live?
It's all relative. Nowadays, right?
This is so true.
So let's do the 30,000 foot view first. So disclaimer, in my opinion, if you live in a blue state, guess what?
You're going to pay for it.
Right. You're going to pay more in taxes, in housing, in pretty much everything. And I've seen these conversations back and forth in the forum that we're all part of. And so, yes, it's generally more expensive in a blue state. It's not rocket science. It is. We are a more desirable place to live. So with that said, is housing expensive? Yes, relatively speaking, housing is expensive. What is the cost of housing in Portland compared to Seattle? I would say it's less. Seattle's more expensive overall, but you're going to find every neighborhood, you'll find some variances. Vancouver, just north of us, their prices are getting a lot more expensive. You used to get a lot more bang for the buck in Vancouver. You still can a little bit more, but the prices are increasing. So we have this interesting phenomenon. Unlike some different places, like I'm going to just what I've read, let's say Phoenix. Phoenix, from what I've read, in places like Phoenix, Austin, Boise, where there's more inventory on the market, the economy is going through a shifting. And so you have a glut of properties or a lot of properties, and the prices are coming down. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think prices now are starting to come down. They were skyrocketing at one point, but right now, currently, I would say they're coming down slightly.
Yes. I would say here, because it's such a desirable place to live, and because of the economy, people don't, like ourselves, we don't want to go from a 2.875 30-year fixed mortgage. So there's that. So we don't really have a lot of on the market. We haven't for a while. There's a shortage of properties. So that is actually keeping the prices relatively stable.
Right.
That doesn't mean the prices aren't coming down, because I'm on the real estate page every day online and I'm looking at the market very closely. The prices are coming down a little bit. If anything, I'm seeing sellers say, we'll put $10,000 towards your mortgage to buy your points down, or things like they're more willing to sort of negotiate. It was when the market was crazy hot. They didn't care.
Right.
But I think the market is strong here, and it's probably stronger than a lot of other markets.
Okay.
The cost of living is high. So you asked about utilities and other things.
Groceries.
Groceries. I mean, yeah, the cost of gas. I mean, things are pretty expensive here. Probably
What's gas a gallon?
I think the last time I remember was like $4.19.
That's not too bad. We're like in the upper fours.
Yeah. Although, newsflash, Oregon is going to no longer be the only two states of the nation now that you can't pump your own gas. the governor just, we just passed a thing where we can pump our own gas, but dear Jesus, I hope I don't have to. I haven't had to pump a gas since 1989. So you can pump your own gas here now. You were banned from doing that because you couldn't
like
do that.
Like Jersey. Before. Jersey was like
just
that.
Like Jersey. Jersey is the only one left now. But I guess if a Costco, and I hear that Costco is going to still have the lanes where they'll do it for you. Thank you. I feel like a boomer here, but I don't like somebody pump. I don't even pay a nickel more a gallon. I don't want to get out.
It used to be that way in New York too.
It was in Boston too.
And yeah. Sometimes I remember in Florida, I thought that they tried, people would come out, but yeah, they got rid of that in New York. They got rid of that in Florida. And now here it's like, no, pump your own.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I don't want to go out and get smelly. Mm-mm. I don't even like to drive. Oh, that reminds me, since we're on that subject. Oh, well, let's go back to cost of living. How about utilities, electric bills, gas bills?
I think it's probably about the same or higher. Both utilities, gas and electric, just went through double-digit increases. So we're talking like 10 to 14%, I believe. Water and sewer here are very expensive. We did a big river cleanup. So the cost of sewer, for example, which is a separate line item on your bill, it's mm-hmm. a lot. So people who come here are surprised that water and sewer are so expensive. And we also pay for our own trash removal here. So a lot of places you live in, the taxes cover your trash removal. It doesn't happen here. Although a good side of that is that we really value recycling. So you can pretty much almost right in front of your house with a curbside pickup, there's many, many, many things that you can recycle. And there's some places that we can take some things where they don't traditionally recycle, like styrofoam. There's places that you could just drop off your stuff, the clear plastic stuff that are hard to recycle. So we're big time recyclers. And so we get a small can, so we pay less because we're really motivated to put styrofoam and plastics and glass and separate all that stuff out.
Yeah, I have more in my recycles than I do in my garbage.
Yeah, these nice. Days. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's better that way. Yeah. Okay, so, all right, so Portland doesn't have sales tax, right?
We do not have a sales tax. Oregon, the entire state, we do not have a sales tax. They've tried so many times to get a sales tax, and for whatever reason, people just get really pissed off about it, and I think they stopped trying, at least for now. So no sales tax.
So that's
doesn't mean that they don't get you somewhere else, okay? So keep in mind, sales tax, property taxes, fees, it's just like any other place. It can be very messy. Tolls. We don't have tolls here. They're talking about building new bridges and adding tolls like they do back east. People are just having a cow over that. So they're funny about that. But
yeah, can you imagine a toll going to Washington? Going over to
that's what
to
they're proposing.
Vancouver?
Yeah, that's what they're proposing. And they've been backpedaling that right now. It's almost like, so we have a bridge that's, I don't know, like older than time itself. And it's no longer, it's like, is it earthquake proof? Barely. Is there enough lanes? No. So every time they do this, like every 5 or 6 years, they come out with this design. We want to have public transit on there. We want to have the MAX and we want extra lanes and we want all this. Well, then people come back and then say, yeah, that's great. But then we're going to have asthma because now there's extra 2 lanes of traffic and environmental quality. Do another study. So they spend thousands and thousands of dollars. And then the longer they wait, now it's like, that's like $100 bazillion instead of $50 bazillion because you waited so long. So we get kind of stuck. And also politically, you have to have buy-in from Oregon and Washington. It's 2 states. Historically, Washington wasn't really on board, but they had to be because we would be getting federal funds. Now Washington is seeing that, oh, shit. Oh, sorry. I don't know if I can swear. This is
that's
a problem.
That's quite right.
And we need this bridge. But it's also politics, like in any state. If you can imagine, like Arizona trying to like discuss like with Utah or another state, California, like coming to consensus. No, we want this. No, go fuck yourself. So there's talk about having a new bridge. But then what they came down to, because the costs were so high, was that it's really not going to be that much bigger than what we have now. And then people are mad about that. So, and then tolling is a whole other thing where consumers are really against tolling. So I don't know. It's still kind of up in the air right now.
Oh, yeah. If they put a toll on that bridge, I know the people that live in Washington that come over for the free sales tax to buy stuff at whatever, Best Buy, Costco, whatever, yeah. They're going to have to pay a couple of dollars tolls to do that. I don't know. Yeah.
It's also not just that. It's also, they're talking about having it go like in Oregon quite a way up. So if you're, I don't know, in a suburb like West Lynn and you're going to Portland, you're still going to have to pay for the bridge, the right. road. And then they're talking about peak and non-peak. And they're also saying, well, what about poor people? Poor people have to get to work and not everybody can take public transit. And so then they're like, well, how do we differentiate? How do we know who's poor? And we want to give them a credit. And so it's just like, it's a can of worms that they're trying to figure out. So there's not an easy answer to it.
Gotcha. All right, that brings us to arts and culture. Portland is, I'm sure, has a substantial arts and culture scene. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we do. It suffered during the pandemic, like in every city, but we do have Portland Gay Men's Chorus that's been around for decades, and they have a really strong following. It's a really good group. We have a number of LGBTQ plus choirs. We have a lesbian choir. We've got Bridging Voices, which is young queer kids. We've got Transpose, which is trans. So we probably have like maybe 8 or 10 LGBTQ specific choirs, wow. if you can believe that. It's amazing. I love that. And we have a very active art scene here. I'm a storyteller. I produce events, and there's a fund called the Regional Arts and Culture Council. I'm on my fifth art grant with them, and they're helping to underwrite the next book I'm working on, and we're going to be doing for Pride next year. We're going to be doing a whole number of events to really uplift our voices, because guess what? Next year is an election year, and the hatred is only going to intensify, so I'm really trying to find a way to sort of lift our voices, if you will. So yeah, very active scene. We have a lot of great theater. There's a theater company I really like called Triangle Productions. That's like, I think, in the 30th year. Don Horn has received numerous awards. They do a lot of queer stuff. Very, very fun stuff. So yeah, there's a little bit of everything for everyone. We've got a symphony here. Thomas Lauderdale, who's pretty popular and famous, he's works out of here. He's a local artist. So yeah, I think we have a really good art scene here. I'm very happy with it.
Do you have like theater, like off Broadway type of theater, like traveling?
Yeah. So we have a number. So we have one place here called the Keller Auditorium, and they get all the Broadway type stuff. So they get the bigger, the Andrew Lloyd Webber, the touring ones. Yeah. The Schnitzer will do some of the smaller stuff. So like when Randy Rainbow comes to town, he's hysterical. He'll be performing at the Schnitzer. And we have a lot of musicians that like to come through here because it's a real progressive crowd. So we get these really good like indie groups. Oh, who was here just recently? Oh, I don't know. Melissa Etheridge comes here, but oh, the Dixie Chicks. And like we have a lot of outdoor music things. That's the other thing I love about Portland. So every year, every summer, our zoo, the Oregon Zoo, is amazing, and it's right on the Max. It's on the west side of town. You can take your Max, the train there, because parking is, it's crazy to park there. And people with their lawn chairs and coolers, and they have it at the zoo. It's an outdoor concert. And they have several nights. I've seen Chaka Khan there. I've seen Etta James when she was alive. It's great. We have another company here. It's local to Oregon. It's called the McMinimum Brothers, and they're entrepreneurs. They take over old churches and schools, and they repurpose them. And they have a property out in east of here, and it was the old poorhouse, Multnomah County poorhouse. It's all brick, and it's like has campus buildings. It's called Edgefield, and they do a number of concerts in the summer. I've seen Diana Ross perform there and a lot of other performers. So we have a lot of outdoor concerts, and we have a lot of free ones. Portland Parks and Rec, City of Gresham, Arnell and I go every Monday night in the summer. They have something called Music Mondays. So if you're into just like free music, all different kinds. You can get that anywhere in this area. We really value that.
That's kind of what I missed. Like back in New York, you had that, and we lived in Brooklyn, or you'd go to Central Park and during the summer and go to outdoor concerts. I kind of missed that. We don't really have that here in Phoenix.
But, well, it's so hot to do it there, unless you maybe did it like an off-peak time.
Well, yeah, here it would be winter.
Yeah, winter.
That they'd have to do it. And in winter, it gets down to 70s.
That's cold for you, right?
It's I wear a coat.
Oh, God. I walk around in my shorts in that weather. Yeah.
Yep. It's all relative.
Yeah.
So, okay. How about restaurants? I love restaurants. I love eating, as you can see. Tell us about the food scene.
Okay. I don't know if it's going to hurt your feelings, but if you like the big box middle America chains, Denny's, and Olive Garden and Red Lobster, you are not going to be happy with what I'm about to tell you.
Good.
They're not here. They're kind of in the suburbs, but you will not find that in Portland. What you will find are these amazing restaurants that are just like chicken and waffles, restaurants that are like on the cutting edge, food carts. Breakfast in this town is really popular. You have to get there early. I can't think of any restaurant that we eat at that's a chain. It's rare.
There's a
Mexican chain called Muchas Gracias, which I love. They get good breakfast burritos, but it's like a local chain. Like, we do have Taco Bell. They're around. We have McDonald's. We have Arby's. I mean, they're there because people are looking for a quick fix.
Right.
But there's so much here to choose from that we never eat there because we're so fortunate that we get great restaurants. And like sushi and Korean ribs and pho is really popular. We have a lot of Vietnamese restaurants here and Thai salad rolls. I mean, like, that's, oh my God. I just like, yeah, the food here is phenomenal. That's one thing that I really like about Portland. We have great restaurants, great variety.
I can't remember if it was Portland or Seattle, but I think it was Portland. I was in this beautiful restaurant on top. It was in a hotel, I think. Do you know of one overlooking all of Portland? I forget the name. Maybe it was in Portland.
I don't know.
I get confused because it was the same trip, Portland and Seattle.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't know that one. I mean, we do have one, but it's changed hand a number of times. You may be thinking about, this shows you how much it's changed. We used to have the U.S. Bank Tower, which is like 40-something stories. And at the very top is a restaurant. That might be what you're talking about.
I think that was it.
It's beautiful. They have an incredible happy hour. It's now, that building sold like 3 times, and now it's not called that building anymore. It went to Unicole and somebody else, and their restaurant, I forget who runs the restaurant now, but we've gone there. I think the last time we were there is like maybe 7 or 8 years ago, and it's beautiful. Like, we've gone there for brunch, and you're right. It's
the
like,
view is like
the view
incredible.
Is to die for. Yes. That one comes to mind, but as you were saying that, there's a wonderful restaurant called Jake's, and they do seafood. They do it really well, and it's in a hotel, like the first floor of the hotel, the old wood, like the old bar, and then there's Cubers, which has been around for over 100 years with the old traditional bar, and they're known for their Spanish coffees. They come to the thing and with the lighter and
oh, nice.
I've had 2 of those, and girl, the room was spinning. So, and I can usually hold my liquor, but we have a lot of great restaurants, very unique places to go.
Yeah, that's one thing about a really good city. I love to eat. I love checking out all the different places. And you said also it's kind of like entrepreneurial also because of the food trucks, these different food trucks that are now turning into restaurants?
Some of them are. It's very expensive to open a restaurant, and about 50% of them fail. So many of them start off as food carts. And sometimes they just like pop up. Like they have their own website, and they're like, follow us online. So, but we have plenty of food carts. They call them food pods. So you might have 10, 12, 15, 20 in a pod. And then there's one that has Guamanian food. It's like Filipino, but in Guam, there's Guamanian food. It's like, and it, for people who are coming here from other cultures, it's great. There's a lot of them from Mexico and Central America that are just like making a footprint here and doing really well at it. So there's that. And so some of them now are experimenting and going into smaller restaurants and doing really well for themselves because they already have kind of like a following. So yeah, I love seeing that.
Now I'm hungry. So does Portland has neighborhoods, right?
Yes.
So what are some of the nice neighborhoods that I would, if I was moving to Portland, I'd want to move to?
Oh my goodness. There's so many. There definitely are a lot of neighborhoods that are kind of closer in. So Portland is shaped like a grid. And so, for example, I'm in the Northeast grid, and there's some great neighborhoods. There's Irvington. I lived in that area for a while. It's close to town. There's Hollywood, which I really like. Hollywood is, I consider, like a pocket neighborhood where everything you need is within like 20 minutes. You wouldn't need a car if you lived in a Hollywood neighborhood. The Max stops right there in Hollywood. Actually, when I was producing a show, one of our editors was flying in from Bellingham and her flight was coming in like right when we were starting the show. And I said, so Tria, don't worry about it. When you get to the airport, and she's like in her 70s, I said, just get the train at the airport. And she's like, I'm nervous. Which way do I go? I said, guess what? You can't go the wrong way because it's the last stop. So just take it towards town. And she's like, what stop do I get off? Hollywood. And I said, we're going to have a red carpet waiting for you when you get there. So she's like, oh my goodness, really? And unfortunately, it was raining that day. And so my husband went and got her, but we were at the Hollywood Senior Center where I do a lot of my work. So Hollywood is a great neighborhood. It has that original feel to it. You can do, and there is a Trader Joe's there in that neighborhood. There's also a Whole Foods, Whole Paycheck. And it's just like a lot of, there's a Target there. But I like that you can just walk everywhere. You can have a car. So that's those are a couple that come to mind for Northeast. Downtown, there's neighborhoods, the Pearl. Many people have heard of the Pearl. That is a little bit more bougie, a little bit more higher income, very walkable, strollable, close to public transit. You can walk everywhere. Yes, there's a Whole Foods there too. It's a nice neighborhood. People go there. And also on the west side, there's some beautiful neighborhoods near Forest Park. We have a beautiful, beautiful big park called Forest Park that covers like a big section of the west side. There's a Pinnock Mansion up there. Takes you up to the zoo. It's a lot of green space. And what I love about it is, like, I'm not very good at directions, but all I have to do is take the streets are alphabetical. So it's just like when I was in Boston, it was like the streets perfectly click. Yeah, so it's like I follow Thurman. It's in the alphabet, and I just keep going, Mark. I keep going until I really can't go anymore. You go through like a residential neighborhood, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, and then it's like, oh, wait, I have to park now. And then I'll meet a friend, and we'll just walk around Forest Park. It's so close.
That's nice.
So you could be in Northwest. They call it the Alphabet District on the west side, and you could just walk to things. And I'm talking about these are all, I mean, you'll have a Starbucks, but you'll have local ice cream places, Salt and Straw, which started here. You'll get all these kind of like really nice one-of-a-kind places. So every neighborhood southeast is very popular with people. There's the Hawthorne District, Belmont, Montevilla, Eastmoreland. Selwood. I really like Selwood. That's kind of like at the end of the area, so you don't have a lot of through traffic, and there's some beautiful old homes. So anyway, there's a little bit for everyone, but I love showing people around Portland because we have some beautiful neighborhoods, and they each have their own personality.
I'm kind of upset when we visited, we didn't see you.
Yeah, I think what we need to do is schedule. What is the group called? Gay Men Over 60? What did you change the name? What is it called now?
Yeah, Gay Men Over 60 or whatever those. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, we should just do a field trip to Portland, and like we should have like a weekend here, and we'll just have people just stay in downtown, and I'll just lead some groups and take people where, and just like take the Max out there, and just
that'd be great.
We have so much fun. Yeah,
that'd be great. That'd be great. Love that. Love that. Tell us about also, since we're talking about walkable, non-walkable, what kind of transportation does Portland have? Do they have any public transportation?
Yeah, we're very fortunate here. And Portland made some decisions in the early 70s, late 60s, early 70s that were revolutionary at the time. And they still are now by today's standards. And so, for example, when every city was gutting neighborhoods and sticking in freeways, and you'll see that, well, like with on-ramps, you're like, you'll see a neighborhood, all of a sudden it's like cut out and it's like an artery. So Portland was planning on doing that. And I want to say it was the late 60s, early 70s. And they had a plan to build what they were calling the Mount Hood Expressway. And they were going to just like knock down old Victorian houses in the core of the city and have a freeway just go right through the city. And interestingly enough, a lot of women formed a group. They got really pissed off and they had, there was a lot of advocacy they did, and they pushed not to do it. And the, and then the thinking at the time was they had this male chauvinist pig at the time who said, women should never have to walk more than two blocks to buy a pair of pantyhose. And these women are like, oh, just go fuck yourself. We'll walk an extra block. Don't put that on us. So super long story short, they, with a lot of support from, again, this is a real community-minded town, they nixed those plans to build a freeway. And they, in exchange, downtown, we have something called Pioneer Square, which is nicknamed Portland's Living Room. And a lot of things happen in Portland's Living Room. And the idea is that space is free of charge. I mean, vendors may have to pay to be there, but we have music, we have plant sales, we have cultural festivals. And it really is to be sort of like this living room to have inclusiveness.
I love
that. So that was part of this thing that they decided to do. So I love that.
Put me on the couch.
As a result, what's that?
Put me on the couch in the living room.
Yeah, well, the nice thing about this, the person who designed it, they put these steps. And so the steps sort of function as seats. So you have this, it's kind of like a spirally thing. It's hard to explain, but so you have like stacked seat built into the living room. There's a Starbucks at the top and there's like a little florist. It's a beautiful, beautiful feeling. And that's one of the things that I like about downtown is that we have that. And there's usually something going on there. There's a farmer's market one day a week. But having said that, we've always had a very good public transportation system. So we have buses and we have a lot of those like bus malls where the buses converge. And we have a very good MAP system. We call it the MAPs, which is like those, I don't know, the trains with the thing on the electric thing on top. And it goes all the way to our airport. It didn't before. That was something they've added on since I've been here. It goes all the way out to Gresham. So that's Gresham is about, I don't know, 15 to 20 miles from like the city center. And then it also goes way out west, all the way to Hillsborough, where the high tech is, like where Intel is. And then there are stops along the way that will take you, these buses that will take you to Intel or Nike. Nike's in Beaverton. So it's a system, and they've been adding to it all along. So it goes out to Clackamas now, which takes you to the Clackamas Mall. So it's very accessible, and then we have a great bus system. And like where we live, there's like it's like a quick corridor to downtown Portland. So it's never any more than 5 or 6 minutes during rush hour traffic to get a bus. They're fast.
Yeah. You know what? You just mentioned the living room, and then I'm thinking, and then you mentioned the Starbucks. I was at a Starbucks with this in this huge area outside the Starbucks, and I was sitting on like chairs or benches.
Yeah.
With Peter, my husband,
yes,
and drinking coffee.
Yep.
In Portland, that must have been the living room.
That is the living room. So
it was that you big were on the Starbucks.
Yes, it's a big Starbucks, and then the benches are kind of where the MAX comes in. So I don't know if you remember, but that's where the MAX comes in, the train. So where you were sitting was really close to where the train comes in.
So the train is like, it's like a trolley kind of train?
Yeah,
is
so we have above trolleys, but it's above ground. So I know you're from New York, so I'm from Boston. It's like everything's like below ground.
Right.
These trains are above ground, so they have the tracks above. So we call it the MAX. It's like an electric train. I can't really explain it, but it's like two or three things together, maybe four, and you step on and you take the MAX. I can't explain it any other way, but that's probably where you were sitting near. There's a Nordstrom right across the street.
Yep.
I think you were at that one.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
yep.
All of these things are starting to come back to have such a bad memory.
How long ago were you here?
It's like 2 years ago. I have a bad memory. I'm like, wait a minute. We went, talking about breakfast now, we went to almost the same place every day. It was so good. We walked. I don't know. It was a woman's name. And it was on, they had outdoor and they had indoor. Oh, so good.
Oh, was it Virginia's?
It could have been.
Virginia Cafe?
It could have been.
It's across from the library. It's close to where you were. It moved about 2 or 3 years ago.
We had to walk quite a few blocks from where we were staying, but
yeah, that's Virginia's is popular. So it's been around
very
a long
popular.
Time. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but that's the one that comes to mind. Yeah, and we also have the streetcar too, like the trolley that takes you around. Yeah,
right. I think we took one of them. I don't know if it was a bus or a streetcar, whatever. One stop. I don't know where we were going, but we were just like exploring.
Yeah,
we really really liked it.
You have to come back. I'll give you the $5 tour. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. How about the airport? You said it was 5 minutes from your house?
By car. Yeah. So it's really close. We have a beautiful airport. We're continually rated like one of the top 5 airports in the country. I really like what they've done with our airport. So one of the things that they do is in order to be a vendor in the airport, you have to have a local presence, and that values local businesses like Powell's Books is very popular. The Made in Oregon store. We have a number of restaurants. So you have to be local. Now, I think there may be a McDonald's or a Wendy's. I can't remember, but they have like an office in Oregon. So you have to have a presence. But what they do is they keep the rent reasonable. In exchange, you cannot charge any more than you would at your other locations. So cool. It's affordable to stop shop here. There's no tax. So think Columbia Sportswear. They have a presence at the airport, and you're not going to pay horrible prices. If you want to get something to eat to go out before you hop on the plane, you're not going to pay $17 for a pizza. You're going to pay whatever other people pay for at the other locations.
Speaking of Columbia, I'm sure there's about a ton of them in Portland, but that was another place that we walked to, and we kept on walking because we needed sweatshirts, we needed stuff.
Yes.
So, yeah, because it was a little rainy. So we bought some clothing there quite a few times we walked.
Yes, yes.
So tell us now, let's see, crime.
Yes.
Tell us about the crime. Is there, and tell us about the homeless situation. Yeah.
Okay, so this comes under the categories. This is me, Paul Urbino, telling you my opinion, because if you talk to like another 500 people, people will tell you different things.
Different.
But this is just how I see it.
Yep.
Let me just start off with what you just were mentioning a second ago, because it relates. You said that you and your husband would walk to the Columbia Sports Store, right?
Mm-hmm.
That store is not there anymore.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Tim Boyle, who is a major, major player in town, his mother, Gert Boyle, one tough mother who recently passed away, it's a legacy. It's a Portland company, and he is really pissed off because of the homelessness, the crime. And so he's so mad, he took that store away. He's closing like many of the locations in Portland. And REI, which had a flagship store in the Pearl. I mentioned that's a very high-end area. Also gone, leaving Portland.
Wow.
So I want to be really clear to say we have not done a good job, in my opinion, of addressing crime and addressing homelessness. And we keep sort of trying new things and newing things, and nothing seems to work. People are pissed off. Politicians are getting really apathetic. So it's one thing that I do not like about living here, and it's one thing that would tip me over the edge to move to Vancouver. We're very lawless right now, and I don't like it. So that is part and parcel of where we're struggling and where I think that we've said goodbye to some people that I feel badly that we shouldn't say goodbye to. They're taking their businesses, and they're going to Washington County. They're going to Hillsboro, Oregon. They're going to Beaverton, Oregon. They're going to Clark County to the north. And Beaverton, where Nike is, they had a program I just learned about recently where so many people, so many businesses were leaving Portland, especially restaurants. Windows are getting broken. City didn't really have a plan. Guess what they did? They had some one-time grant money. They were on the phone, hey, Mark, how would you like to come to Beaverton? We can help subsidize your rent for a month, or we can offer you some. Mm-hmm. Don't have to ask me twice. Beaverton
wow.
got a lot of business by just cold calling people in Portland, businesses that were just so pissed off.
How far Beaverton, is Beaverton?
Tigard. It's about distance to like Gresham. It's a suburb. So depending on where you are, it's like maybe 8 to 10 miles. It's not that far away.
That's not right? far.
Beaverton, Hillsboro, Tigard, Tualatin, West Lynn, Lake Oswego. So those places, I'm actually kind of jealous. They're getting our good places because our people are saying we can't do it anymore. It's not all of them, but many good places have left and they're not coming back, including Columbia. Columbia still has a couple stores, but they're just pissed the fuck off. They're really angry. So yeah, that's the truth.
What do you think could be done with the...
Well, a couple things are being done. One, at the last election, we voted to have charter reform. So our form of government is not ideal. So we don't have a city manager. One of the few cities in the United States that we have we have four commissioners and a mayor. And the commissioners, there's no residency requirement. So like in San Francisco, you have aldermen and they're attached to like a neighborhood. They could live anywhere. Many of them live in expensive neighborhoods. And their job is to oversee bureaus, like the Water Bureau, the Bureau of Buildings, like stuff, infrastructure, fire, police. They don't know what they're doing. And what happens is there's been so people are so mad that they will do their 4 years and then they're gone. And then you have to bring in somebody new to train them. So we've lost a lot of time.
Yeah.
And so starting in 2025, we will have a different form of government. And so they're trying to sort of like behind the scenes now build that infrastructure for when that's going to happen. So we're going to go from 4 elected representatives to 12, which I think is too many, but nobody asked me. And so they will be they'll be representing districts, which we didn't have before, and we will have a city manager that's appointed by the mayor. It's just going to be a different animal, and then we're going to have time to sort of like figure how that's going to work. Meanwhile, in other cities, like I think about Vancouver, I feel like they've done a much better job with homelessness because they have a city manager that's tasked with doing something, and they make it happen. In Portland, we have like 18 different bureaus, and when you try to make a change around homelessness, they'll say, well, the Bureau of Transportation said you can't do this.
Too much bureaucracy.
Too much bureaucracy. And then you have bureaus infighting. Well, the Bureau of Buildings say that's against law. You can't have a... So it ends up like, where are we with that? Like you said you were going to build these big outside shelters like 3 years ago, and our own bureaucracy just, it's like they keep shooting themselves in the foot. So we're just tired of it. We're getting really close to having some of these homeless sanctioned places that they'll have services. So they have the individual pods, they'll have some tents, but it's taken so long because I think it's just the bureaucracy. And we've spent millions and millions of dollars and I feel like we haven't gotten
anywhere.
Return on investment. So that's just me being cranky.
No, that's okay. That's okay. You're honest. And we all want honesty, especially on these type of podcasts. We want to know the good and the bad. So
yeah, there you go.
There you go. All right. So we know about crime and we know about homeless population.
Yeah.
So tell us about healthcare. Are there enough, doctors that satisfies the communities?
I think we're doing well in healthcare with a little caveat, and that is, I believe our healthcare system is in trouble nationally. So no surprise, it just takes longer now, and you know this from your husband's recent situation. So to see a specialist, it just takes longer. But having said that, we have some very good systems here that we like. We have a number of healthcare systems, specialties. I think it's a desirable place to live. So we have a lot
good
of specialties.
Hospitals.
We have several hospitals. We've got the Providence Health System, Legacy. We have a teaching hospital, Oregon Health Sciences University, which is really good. And they have bought up some of the smaller general hospitals. And they now are like sub-hospitals, so they can specialize like in orthopedic. So it's a teaching hospital. They have their own nursing program. They have their own organ transplant. They need a new kidney, new liver. So they're doing a lot of like cutting edge stuff there through OHSU. Kaiser has a strong footprint here. Kaiser has a couple of huge, huge places, and they're building. So we have a number of systems up in Vancouver. They have Peace Health. So I don't think there is a shortage of that here compared to, I think, a lot of other places.
Other places, yeah. It sounds like they got their shit together there as far as
healthcare. Yeah, and again, like if you're in Medicare, I think you're in a good place. My aunts are on Medicare, but you have to be your own best.
I'm on Medicare.
Yeah, and they are too, but it's like you get sort of like, it's a shit show. It's like, oh, well, and I get on the phone. I call myself Bossy Pants. I'm like, no, they're not waiting 3 months. No. So you have to sort of like speak up because you have to, as I mentioned earlier, which is why I hope we do the other podcast, like you have to know what to say. And the big thing I have when the hospitals try to push people out before they're ready, and insurance companies say, we're only going to pay X number of days for rehab. You know what? I teach people, here's the three words, failure to thrive. You just have to say that to the social worker. Well, I'm just concerned that my loved one is going to be in a situation of failure to thrive. Oh. You start giving their $3 words back to them.
I like that.
And it's like, oh, failure to thrive. Oh, yeah. And could you please put that in the notes?
I'm going to put that in the notes.
Yeah, so I do that all the time. My dad's 93. He's in assisted living. And it's like, I'm just like, no, no, no. But you have to, it's unfortunate. You have to know what to say and who to say it to. But,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Same thing here. When Peter had his accident, we were in the emergency in the ER. They were like, well, you might have like a couple of days wait. So you could go home and do it as an elective and then come back in a couple of days, or you can stay here. I'm like, we're not going anywhere. But, you know, if we went home, how could he go home? First of all,
right. Yeah.
He has a broken knee and we're going to be right back here. How am I going to get him back? We took the ambulance here.
Right. Yeah.
So that's the type of mentality they want you to go, 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 go.
Yeah. And I think, unfortunately, we've lost a lot of people during the pandemic. They're not coming back to healthcare. It's a very stressful industry. So I'm not discounting that. And I'm not saying that doesn't happen here because it does. You just have to be a really good advocate. But I feel like we have a good infrastructure at least.
That's good. That's very important. All right. So do you wish that you had something in Portland that you don't have that you might have had elsewhere, like in Boston?
Ooh, that's a great question, Mark. I have to say when I first moved here, I really missed like good food, like real pizza. Like
I was just going to say that.
Food. It's just, it's been so hard, like a steak sub, like you can smell it, and they're cooking, they're grilling, the peppers and onions. But I'm going to say it's been a lot better. There's actually pizza here now that's comparable to back east. But it's been a journey, and it's still, when I go back home, which is every so often, there's certain things I can't get out here. Just like when you go to New York, I'm going to like go to a Jewish deli, and we have that here.
Or it's a bagel and a schmear.
Yes,
or a pastrami sandwich.
It's not the same. Yeah, a pastrami sandwich. You can get that here. But when I go back, there's certain things that I just crave. Yeah. But that's okay. I can't really think of anything that's lacking. I love our airport because we can fly anywhere. I have the friend who I was mentioning earlier from Texas. He's in a little podunk town. He has to fly and anywhere he has to go, he has to fly on American Airlines to Dallas, like to get to a hub. And that's really frustrating. So I feel like we have an international airport. We recycle. We've got a good art scene. We have a lot of independent bookstores. We have a lot of independent theater. So the thing I like about here is that unlike those big metroplex places, like sometimes they limit your access to things. Like you piss some conservative people off and guess what? They're going to boycott that. We can just see a lot of art house movies. We have a lot of like queer film festivals. We have queer documentary festival, Jewish film festival, international. I mean, we have so much here that sometimes I try not to take it for granted, but we're so fortunate. I honestly can't think of anything that we would have other than maybe 6 months without rain, but that's asking for too much. So.
That's great. So it sounds like it's really a wonderful place to live.
I'd have a hard time finding another place in this country to live, to be honest.
There you go.
I would. Yeah.
We're running out of blue places too. I mean, you got to think about, if you think about where to retire, okay, I want nice weather. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
If you want to live in a blue state, there's not many that have great weather.
Exactly.
I mean, California, maybe if you live in San Diego or you live along the coast, that's about it.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is we have a lot of purple states, purplish states.
Right.
And I think we have to really help those
like
states.
Like Arizona.
Arizona, Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina. I mean, they're becoming purpler. Even Florida. Well, I don't know. Florida. I don't know what to say about Florida.
Yeah. We won't go there.
I won't go there. But it's just that I don't want to feel like, well, without sounding too Pollyannish about it, I don't want it to be like, okay, you guys take Florida, North Carolina, Mississippi, Miami, and we'll take... It's just like then we become even more divided. I feel like we need to help our peeps out in those other states and see if we can create a little bit more inclusivity and welcomeness. It's hard. So this friend I'm talking about in Texas, we were talking the other day, and he's like, he wanted to advocate for something. He goes like, and who's my state senator? Ted Cruz. Like, he's not going to help me. And he's like, and every time he's like, what am I going to do? Like, and then and just joking, like, because we have really good shopping here. Like, I like IKEA. I like REI. They don't have that shit in Texas, where he is anyway. He's like, the best store they have is Kohl's. And I'm like, oh, you poor thing. Really? He's like, we have Kohl's and we have Target. But Walmart has a huge – the two Walmarts that we had in Portland both shut down. People didn't like Walmart here anyway. So they made a big deal on Fox News about Walmart going away. We didn't shop at Walmart anyway. It was no big loss.
Right.
But for us, we lost REI. Oh, my goodness. But anyway,
yeah.
I feel so fortunate to be able to feel like I have a sense of freedom here. And
yeah,
a lot of good people, good energy.
Absolutely. So living there for so many years, do you have any, besides the weather, are there any other cons you can think of?
I think the affordability of housing... Oh, the crime for sure, and the homeless situation, they're going to have to get something figured out. We passed something here called Measure 110, which decriminalizes having drugs in your possession. And it's kind of resembles what they've done in Portugal and in Denmark or other countries. It's had a real bad effect because fentanyl is huge right now, and people are just smoking and shooting up in like open air markets in downtown Portland. And there's like really not a lot that's being done to address it, right? And so it gets me angry, but it's like, well, but we voted on this, and we have no drug bed, we have no treatment beds. Like we're like 47th in the country for the number of beds that we have. And the people who are on fentanyl now, it's a different. We used to have a detox, and that detox was mostly just dealing with drugs and alcohol back in the day. And about 3 years ago, they said, oh my God, people coming in here are violent. We have to shut down. We have not been able to fill that since. So people are ending up in emergency departments. They're ending up in all these places, but there's no place for it. So without sounding like a Debbie Downer, it's lack of drug treatment facilities and also for mental health as a result of brains being fried from the stuff. It's just like it's one thing after another. So that's really demoralizing to see. So that would be definitely on the negatives. And the cost of living, even despite all that, it's expensive to live here, but many
people
pay for it.
You get what you pay for it, too.
You get what you pay for. And I see people say, oh, I don't want to pay tax. Like, well, you're going to pay one way or another, because otherwise you're going to be complaining about what the weather's like in Iowa in the winter. Well, I can't help you.
Right.
Or you're going to be complaining about, well, how come there's no gay people here? Well, I can't help you there. Why are they passing laws that they're banning things? Well, can't help you there either.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to sort of just like, well,
you gotta
either
suck it
in
up.
Or out. There's no magic bullet.
Wait.
Places like maybe like New Mexico is a possibility. But if you're in a nice part of New Mexico, you got to pay for that too, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Santa Fe. Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah.
So, Paul, in wrapping up, what would you say to our audience if they're thinking about relocating to Portland?
I would say come and visit it and experience it here, and also come during non-peak time, like come in the winter, come in the fall, come in the spring, come in the winter, I mean the summer, obviously, because it's really nice here, and talk to a lot of people and form your own opinion. Like go out and have coffee with people and get a sense, and also determine what's really important for you, and then have that be sort of a focal point when you come out. What are the top five things that are really important to you? Is it outside activities? Is it arts and culture? And then have conversations with people. And especially with the good work that you're doing, Mark, there's so many of us online now that we can just have these conversations. So I appreciate you making this world a lot smaller. I've learned so much from the groups. And of course, I have my bias. But the other thing is, I'm having coffee with one of my storytellers next week, and he works downtown. I haven't been there a long time. And I said, hey, Noah, why don't you pick a place? And he's like, oh, let's meet at 40 Pounds Coffee. Never heard of the place. I went on Yelp. It's got great reviews. So I'm learning from newer people to the
city. There you go.
Oh, so there's so much. That's one thing that I really like here. There's so much happening and transforming all the time that for a new person, I think it's a magical place. So that's, I guess, what I would say.
Great. So let's talk a little bit. Could our audience follow you anywhere on social media? Where could we get your books? I did mention that at the beginning. Do you have a website?
Yeah, so ourboldvoices.com. So it's ourboldvoices.com, and you can follow me there. If people are interested in joining I have a group for men who are 50 plus. It's free. I volunteer. I do that. You'll see that on the calendar. So just send me an email. I also have a newsletter that I can send people, so sign up there. And then I have a presence on Instagram and Facebook mostly. So my name, the last name is spelled I-A-R-R-O, be like boy, I-N-O, or look for Our Bold Voices. I have my own Instagram and my own Facebook page for that. But I would love to help people just sort of figure out what the Portland metro area has to offer, including Vancouver, Washington.
Wonderful. Oh, maybe we'll have another one on Vancouver.
Yeah, I can probably find just someone to talk about it.
All right. Well, thank you for coming and joining us on the podcast. I really appreciate it, Paul. It's always nice to see you and hear from you. And of course, and we'll talk soon.
Right. Keep up the great work. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast and consider making a donation by clicking the coffee cup on any page at www.wheredogaysretire.com. Each cup of coffee that you buy costs $5 and goes towards helping us continue the podcast. Thank you for your continued support.